Welcome to the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ. When someone asked Jesus, what's the most important thing in the whole Bible? Jesus didn't hesitate. Love God. We pray this season of the podcast will help you and your loved ones grow in love for God.
Yeah, what about the problem of getting overloaded with information? And it's almost like you're getting spiritually fat. You're not doing anything. You're just taking in. And I've heard people say, you know, be careful about that because you'll become lethargic. So it's just like eating too much food, and you need to let it go out from you in ministry. And I agree with that to a point. However, my experience has not been that I run into a lot of people that just know way too much about God and understand way too many principles in Scripture. That's not been my experience. My experience is that I run into a lot of people who know massive amounts of Bible trivia, but not very many biblical principles. Because for a biblical principle to really sink in, it takes work. You have to digest it. And I think what the danger is when I do that sort of thing, when I just keep listening, and I'm not really growing, then, and it's not having the effect it should have, I think what's happening isn't that I'm getting fat, it's that my mouth is getting fuller and fuller. I'm just not swallowing. I'm not digesting. When I listen to a sermon, it sometimes takes me a week to get through a sermon, a good sermon. Because as soon as he says something really good, I'm hitting pause. I can't just let it, because I'll forget it. I know I'll forget it. So I hit pause, and I'm thinking, and I'm letting it sink in, and I'm trying to figure out how to apply it, and I'm preaching it in my mind, and I'm telling my family about it. I'm telling friends about it, not because I care for them to understand it, but just because I want to process it, and that helps to process it. So if you happen to be around, you're going to hear about it. Same thing with reading a book. I have a little tiny book on my nightstand. It's like, you know, 120 pages, and it's teeny little pages, and I've been working on that thing for about 3 months. Because when I read a good book, now I can read a bad book pretty fast, but a good book takes me, I rarely get through a page, more than one page of a good book in a day. Because the way I read a book is I just keep reading until I come across something helpful, something good. And as soon as I get something good, bookmark, put the book down, and I'm thinking and writing and contemplating and praying, talking, and trying to digest. So my recommendation is, when you feel that kind of overload, information overload, then maybe the solution isn't so much less information, but more digestion. Anything else? Okay. Excellent question. The question was, what about prayer? What kind of a role does praying have in experiencing the presence of God? And what is the two-way interaction with prayer? That's a critical thing, because there are people who teach, oh, the way to have an interaction, fellowship with God, is you pray, and then you stop praying and listen. Anybody ever been taught that? Just listen to God. And I don't know what people mean by that when they say that, but it's dangerous. It's dangerous to just empty your mind and listen. And then when something pops into your mind, you say, aha, that must be the voice of God. It's not necessarily the voice of God. It could be your own thoughts. It could be the devil masquerading as an angel of light. He's very good at that. It could be a lot of things. So just because you have a feeling or a thought pop into your head does not necessarily mean that that is a response from God. And again, this is what I preached for many years, and I warned people, don't do that. But I ended up going too far, throwing the baby out with the bathwater, and I said, don't even try to have an interaction, a two-way interaction with God. Just pray. Just keep praying. That part was a mistake. You do pray, and then you do, you know, David in Psalm 5, he says, I lift up my prayers to you, and then I look up to heaven. He's watching for a response, and he's waiting for one. And there is a response that comes. What is that response? How does God respond back to you? When you pray, and then he responds back to you personally, directly to you, speaking to you, how does that happen? Is it a thought that pops into your head? Not necessarily. Is it a feeling that you have in your gut? Mm-mm. No. It's something else. And that's what we'll be talking about, what that other thing is. And I can't say it right now because it's too much to say. It's things like insight. Like, I'll just give you one example. This is one example, and then I won't keep going for another hour. But It's not a situation where God spoke 2,000 years ago and he's done speaking. I believe God speaks today. He speaks directly to each one of us today. But how does he speak? By putting random thoughts in our head? No, by giving insight, by turning on the lights so we can see the significance of what he said 2,000 years ago for me right now. So I say, God, show me, and talk to me. And he says, okay, Daryl, here. And all of a sudden I'm studying, and that's what it means. I can see it now. And that's how it applies to this decision I'm wrestling through. And this is how it'll help me with my marriage. I can see that now. And it's not some extra revelation that popped into my head. It's just enlightenment to see what was there, but I couldn't get it before. You see that? So that's one example of fellowship with God. Now, I'll be giving you in the rest of the series dozens of examples like that, of different ways of communing back and forth with God through the day. But we don't want to drift into superstitious mysticism. We want to stick with biblical examples of that, how that interaction takes place. Okay? Okay. So the question is, in 1 John 2:15, it says, don't love the world or anything in the world, because it's all bad. And in James, he says, the friendship of the world is hatred towards God. Don't spend what you get on your pleasures. That's adultery against God. And that sounds so absolute, because what about the good things in this world? Like holding a baby or driving a performance car. The two great things in this world, according to Steve. What about the good things that God made? And the answer, we'll have a whole sermon just on that answer. The answer is, every good thing that God made can be an evil loving the world or a righteous worshiping God. And the short answer is this. If you enjoy holding a baby or driving a car the right way, it's worship. It's acceptable worship. It's not something that's not God, but it's okay. It's worshiping God. And if you delight in it another way, then it is adultery with the world, idolatry, and there's no in between. Everything we enjoy, good things and bad things that God made, we either turn it into an idol or we use it to worship God. So we'll get into that in some detail. But we will talk about how do you enjoy the pleasures of life? How do you obey the book of Ecclesiastes and enjoy life, enjoy your wife and your kids and your job and all that? How do you do that in a way that doesn't involve loving things in the world? Any other questions? Okay, so the mundane things, like putting on your socks, and you're not consciously paying attention to God. Is there a way to do that the right way that is not a conscious paying attention to God? You're thinking about the rest of your day. You're thinking about, you know, is one of these black and one brown, or are they both black, you know, or something. And does it have to be conscious? It doesn't have to necessarily be conscious. There are things that we can offer God as worship where we're not continuously thinking about him the whole time. In fact, that's what I told the worship team. If I come up here and I play my trumpet, if I ever play my trumpet as a prelude or something like that, I'm not thinking about God. If I start thinking about God, you're not going to like what you hear. I have to concentrate. It takes too much concentration for me to think about God. So what I do is, as I get up here, I say, God, this is for you. This is an offering for you. I'm offering this as worship. Talk to you in 3 minutes. And then play, and then, okay, God, I'm back. Because some things require all our concentration. And you can offer things to God like that. So it doesn't have to be conscious paying attention to God all the time. However, let me add to that. The more frequent the actual paying attention to him, the better. And when the intervals in between direct attending to him get to be too long, those intervals are too long, too many hours in between, then the relationship fades. You know, for me to love my wife, do I have to be thinking about her, paying attention face-to-face to her all the time? No. But if it turns into only serving her and providing for her and never any face-to-face attention, then there's a problem. So with God, it doesn't have to be every second, but my goal in my life is to get those intervals shorter and shorter. And a lot of the fulfillment comes far greater when you are attending to him. So hopefully that was helpful to you if you were wondering some of those same questions. If you have other questions that have come up in your mind, please feel free to contact me. Send me a message on Facebook. I would love to interact with you and help however I can. In tomorrow's podcast, we're going to start the next section of this study, which is exactly how do you have experiences of God's presence? This is where it really gets important, because
so often people have thought of experiencing God's presence as some strange mystical feeling that can't really be defined, and it's sort of, and it's rare and difficult. And that's not the picture we have in Scripture. The Bible teaches us of some very specific principles, concrete things that you can do every single day to experience God's presence every single day. It's very much within your reach. It's not ethereal or mystical, and it's very powerful. It'll bring you joy into your life. So I hope you can make it tomorrow and the next few podcasts, because this is where the rubber really hits the road.
Thank you for listening. We would love to hear from you. Your thoughts about the materials in these studies are important to us, and they may be helpful for others as well. A link to this podcast is posted on the Food for Your Soul Facebook page every weekday morning. You're invited to follow that page and post your reactions to that day's content. Your perspectives might be just what someone else needs to gain insight. And when a session is especially helpful, feel free to click on the share button so others can find it too.
This content has been provided to you free of charge by the generous supporters of Food for Your Soul Ministries. For information on how you can support Food for Your Soul, visit us online at treasuringgod.com. There you'll find over 1,000 sermons, as well as articles, books, and many other resources, all available for free download.
Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always, and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.